Hi, everybody. It's Katie Couric. Have you heard about my newsletter called Body and Soul? It has everything you need to know about health and wellness. From skincare and serums to meditation and brain health, we've got you covered. And most importantly, it's information you can trust. Everything is vetted by experts at the top of their field. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/bodyandsoul. That's KATIECOURIC.com/bodyandsoul. I promise you'll be happier and healthier if you do.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Joe Gatto.
I'm Steve Byrne.
We are Two Cool Moms.
We certainly are.
And guess where we could find us now?
Oh, I don't know. The iHeart Podcast Network?
That's right. We're an official iHeart podcast, and I'm super excited about it.
I am too. I thought Two Cool Moms was such a fun podcast, but now it's even more funner and cooler and heartier.
That's right. It's more iHeartier.
I knew it! Check your heart rate. We're here at iHeart.
Yeah, you can find us wherever you listen to your podcasts or on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey everyone, Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Wake and Jake. I've been a sports nut my whole life, and there's nothing I love more than talking about it. If you're a sports fan, Wake and Jake is the place for you. Covering all the hot topics from the sports world, a lot of baseball, a lot of postseason coverage, mock drafts, awards, guest interviews, all of it. New episodes every Monday and Wednesday. Come watch along on the Wake and Jake YouTube channel or listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these failure drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off. It's going to be a Republican convention show, kind of. When I say kind of, just get ready. I'm going to do some criticizing of Republicans. Also, this young lady has some serious skills on par with my own. All that's coming up right now on I'm Right. There is an extremely powerful force out there that people have tried to explain forever. They've tried to explain exactly what it is. They've tried to explain how to create it. They've tried to explain how to defeat it. And nobody's really been able to accurately do it. And that thing is called momentum. You know what it's like if you watch sports. You can feel it. You can feel the momentum shift. And it is a real thing. It is palpable. You can see it happening. All of a sudden, it starts slow. And then it gains, and it gains. And there's all of a sudden a tidal wave. And momentum is, it exists everywhere in all things. And momentum definitely exists in societies as a whole. There's a reason I am so loud and direct about things that are unpopular. You remember in the early times of the coronavirus lockdown, day one, I was screaming against them. The reason I was so loud about it wasn't because I enjoy getting called a grandma killer. It wasn't because I enjoy people who are friends of mine yelling at me, texting me that I don't understand about this deadly plague and we have to lock down. It's not that I enjoy that. That stuff doesn't bother me, but I don't enjoy it. I was so loud early because I knew we were going to set the narrative for coronavirus early. Narrative is set early, and off of narrative, you get momentum. One of two things was going to happen early on in coronavirus. The momentum was going to go the direction of, we are Americans, we will tough through this, it will work its way through society, we'll be healthier, we'll protect the old people, but we have to guard the thing that keeps America going, the economy. Let's power through it. The momentum was either going to go that way, or the momentum was going to go the direction of, make sure you use hand sanitizer 9,000 times a day and put your kid in a face mask and then put a face shield on him and make sure little Johnny wears rubber gloves at all time and does kindergarten class from his home until he's a maladjusted, insane child who's miserable. And that's what's happened. And that's the direction we've gone. Because all the momentum went that way. It started that way and could not be stopped. That's why I was so loud about it. And the same thing with these Black Lives Matter Antifa riots in the streets. As soon as George Floyd was killed, and everybody was saying one thing, and you know what that one thing was? The cops are racist. We have a cop problem. Cops are definitely cops are hunting down black people. Cops, cops, cops. And that was the comfortable thing to say, right? You saw most of the people on the right saying that too, not just the left, on the right. I'm not talking about day seven, day one when it happened. You saw everybody on the right, most people lining up. Oh yeah, I mean, the cops really are racist. Definitely, it's definitely the cops. That's why I was so loud saying the cops aren't the problem in these high crime urban communities, and it's insane to say otherwise. I wasn't so loud because I wanted everybody to yell at me that I was a racist for months. I don't care about that. Doesn't do anything for me either way. I don't love it. I don't hate it. I don't care. I was so loud because of momentum. Momentum. I knew. I told you what was going to happen. We are setting the narrative, and from the narrative, we're going to get the momentum. And it's either going to go the direction of cops are not the problem. If we're going to address this particular case, we can do that. However, if we're going to address the problems in the urban black community, we're not going to sit here and pretend like the problem is police officers. It's not the problem at all. There's a huge fatherlessness problem, and that's really where most of this comes from. We can dig into the schools. They have crappy schools, and that sucks, and they should be able to go to other schools. We could have dug into that, and that's the direction the momentum could have gone. Or we can do what we did. Cops are the enemy. Cops are racist. Cop, 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 cop. I'm going to loot. I'm going to riot. I'm going to murder. And that's why I was so loud early. And I'm hard on people who took the easy route early, who took the easy route on coronavirus lockdowns, who took the easy route on Black Lives Matter rallies. Not you, necessarily. I'm hard on people who are supposed to lead. I demand more of leaders. And when you are an elected official, state, local, or national, you have chosen to become a leader. Even though most of them are useless scumbags, you've put yourself in a leadership position. And so I want to know the positions you took when it was hard. It's easy now that everybody knows Black Lives Matter is a scumbag domestic terrorist group. It's easy now to be all, well, I love the cops. We need to protect our cops. More pro-cops. Anyone can say that now. Where were you when it was hard to say that? Not now when it's easy. Not now when you, oh, everybody's pro-cop now. Where were you when it was hard? And the truth is, much of the Republican Party jumped right on that early narrative, the early momentum, anti-cop momentum. And much of the Republican Party, they hold some responsibility for what you're seeing happen now in Wisconsin, looting, rioting, burning businesses, being lost, they do. So, here was Tim Scott from last night, and then we're gonna have a little chat.
Make no mistake, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris want a cultural revolution, a fundamentally different America. If we let them, they will turn our country into a socialist utopia. And history has taught us that path only leads to pain and misery, especially for hardworking people hoping to rise.
Okay. I don't disagree with that. And I should clarify, I don't have a problem with Tim Scott on a larger level. I don't. Most of my friends who I know who know him speak highly of him. So this is not some horrible indictment of Tim Scott as a whole. However, you're Tim Scott. You're standing up there at the convention and you're talking about the cultural revolution that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden want. Well, that's what Black Lives Matter wants too. That's what the anti-cop movement was really about. And I've seen Tim Scott on the news about 24 times over the past couple months pushing federal police reform. Early and often, Tim Scott was out there after George Floyd. Cops, cops, cops! You may think you're against the Cultural Revolution. Maybe he is, but whether he knowingly did it or otherwise, he helped them along. It's true. Here's Donald Trump Jr. last night.
Biden also wants to bring in more illegal immigrants to take jobs from American citizens. His open border policies would drive wages down for Americans at a time when low-income workers were getting real wage increases for the first time in modern history. He's pledged to repeal the Trump tax cuts, which were the biggest in our country. After 8 years of Obama and Biden's slow growth, Trump's policies have been like rocket fuel to the economy, and especially to the middle class. Biden has promised to take that money back out of your pocket and keep it in the swamp.
All that's true. And I hope all that is resonating with people. Maybe the most amazing thing I'm seeing now is Democrats feel comfortable running openly on tax increases. Now, normally they say things like, well, it's for rich people. It's the rich people have to pay their fair share. But really, when you get down to it, they promise a tax increase on everybody who pays taxes. I can't believe we're at a place like that in society, and I don't think we are yet. This is a good opportunity, and I'm glad we have the Trumps there to clearly contrast the Biden message with the Trump message, because Lord knows the American media is not going to do so. One of my favorite human beings of all time, Herschel Walker, spoke last night. I love this guy.
It hurt my soul to hear the terrible name that people call Donald. The worst one is racist. I take it as a personal insult that people would think I've had a 37-year friendship with a racist. People who think that don't know what they're talking about. Growing up in the Deep South, I've seen racism up close. I know what it is, and it isn't Donald Trump. Just because someone loves and respects the flag, our national anthem, and our country, doesn't mean they don't care about social justice. I care about all those things. So does Donald Trump.
I love Herschel Walker. You know, when he was in his 50s, I don't know how old he is now, when he was in his 50s, he had a body fat percentage of like 2%. I'm still not convinced Herschel Walker wasn't built in a lab somewhere. Just a freak athlete, total stud. Lastly, we had Nikki Haley. You can listen to Nikki Haley for a second, and then we're going to have a brief Nikki Haley talk.
In much of the Democratic Party, it's now fashionable to say that America is racist. That is a lie. America is not a racist country. America is a story that's a work in progress. Now is the time to build on that progress and make America even freer, fairer, and better for everyone.
Okay, I don't mind it. Thought her speech was fine. But I will tell you what Nikki Haley is. I understand a lot of you are Nikki Haley fans. Tons of my friends are Nikki Haley fans. A lot of people are Nikki Haley fans because they think Nikki Haley is going to bring back the old ways of the GOP, the pre-Donald Trump ways. And whether you're a Nikki Haley fan or not, you need to understand this. That way is not coming back. And it's not coming back because as you see the violent radicalization of the left, as you see them really take their final form, what it's doing is it's scaring people. Donald Trump is as nice as you're going to get from the right for quite some time because society always seeks a balance. The old, well, I mean, that's okay. The old Mitt Romney way of Republicanism is dead. Maybe it'll come back to life one day. Maybe you want that, maybe you don't. But I'm telling you, it is dead now. There is no going back. The more the left pushes for this radicalization, the more the right is going to embrace this nationalist populist movement of Donald Trump. I don't expect you to love that. I don't expect you to hate that. You do you politically. I'm telling you what it is, and that is what it is. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Now, what if I told you there was a 40-bed, 543-acre place for veterans to go get help? And I mean real help, because this is the kind of help, as somebody who's been through the VA, this is the kind of help you get. You get a meeting weeks after you need one. You get some well-meaning people who work there, some really great well-meaning people, but they're drowning in the bureaucracy and inefficiency of it all. If you're struggling with something like PTSD, maybe abuse, alcohol abuse addiction is what I'm talking about, drug abuse, you get a bottle of pills, maybe some counseling later on. You don't get real help, at least it's difficult to. Warriors Heart Foundation, they're taking veterans in. They're putting them up. They're giving them peer-to-peer counseling. They're helping them through mild traumatic brain injury. They're helping them through their alcoholism, drug addiction, PTSD, the problems that do come when you get back from combat and you're hurting. This is a 501c3. It is an outstanding organization. Give so they can give to veterans. Go to warriorsheart.com/the first. That's warriorsheart.com/the first. Also, do not forget, veterans or families of veterans or friends of veterans, if they need help, any kind of help, there is a 24-hour hotline you can call, 866-950-0636. We'll be back. The RNC continued to roll right along, and they had on that St. Louis couple, and the St. Louis couple who they took on the Black Lives Matter protesters outside of their home. Remember, the Black Lives Matter protesters kicked in the gate outside of their house, were marching by screaming things at them. They went inside and got their weapons, and the dude comes out, and he's got the AR, and the lady's got the pistol. She wasn't holding it that well, but look, everybody needs more training, all right? And they're walking by, and the news media immediately, of course, made these people out to be Nazis. Well, they had them on last night. Here they were.
They're not satisfied with spreading the chaos and violence into our communities. They want to abolish the suburbs altogether by ending single-family home zoning. This forestry zoning would bring crime, lawlessness, and low-quality apartments into now-thriving suburban neighborhoods. President Trump smartly ended this government overreach, but Joe Biden wants to bring it back. These are the policies that are coming to a neighborhood near you. So make no mistake, no matter where you live, your family will not be safe in the radical Democrats' America.
All right, we're going to play that again here in just a second because I want you to watch something. First of all, what they said was right. But Democrats have wanted to destroy the suburbs and middle class forever. Remember, there is no middle class in any socialist, communist, collectivist, whatever system. There's never a middle class there. There are the ruling people, and then there's everybody else, all the poor peasants who get trampled on. So destroying the middle class is obviously a focus of the Democratic Party. But we're going to eliminate the politics out of this for a second, and I'm going to help everybody out. And I'm not taking a shot at the McCluskeys. They're not professional TV people. They don't know. But the people at the Republican Party should know. And the Trump campaign should know. And TV networks should know. And everybody needs to know this. I'm going to say this from the rooftops so you all can hear. Never in the history of television, ever, has a couple sat down to speak into the camera and looked anything other than completely awkward. The camera is for one person at a time. Even on panels, they don't work most of the time because they talk over each other and one person has to sit there and it looks awkward. One person at a time, at all times. I understand they're a married couple and they don't do this professionally, and they had their reasons. Again, this is not a shot at them. This is a shot at every single TV network out there that should know better. Republicans, Democrats, all of them. Remember when Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer got up and gave that joint press conference and everybody made fun of them. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go ahead and do an internet image search after my show's over for the Pelosi-Schumer press conference. Do you know the reason? You probably don't remember it, because it happened so long ago and it happened one time and they never did it again because it got internet fame because everybody widely mocked them because it looks terrible. The person who's not talking doesn't know what to say or do. So you either look angry or you have to sit there like a statue. I want you to watch this just a little 30-second blurb one more time. And don't look at the lady who's speaking. Look at Mr. McCloskey. And this is, again, not a shot at him, but this is how it looks every time.
They're not satisfied with spreading the chaos and violence into our communities. They want to abolish the suburbs altogether by ending single-family home zoning. This forestry zoning would bring crime, lawlessness, and low-quality apartments into now-thriving suburban neighborhoods. President Trump smartly ended this government overreach, but Joe Biden wants to bring it back. These are the policies that are coming to a neighborhood near you. So make no mistake, no matter where you live, your family will not be safe in the radical Democrats' America.
What's he doing? Nothing. Why do you have them both on there? Podiums? Little TV interviews? One at a time, ladies and gentlemen. Now, moving on. Representative Matt Gaetz, who we should probably keep our eyes on, because I suspect this man is probably going to be running for higher office sooner rather than later. He had this to say.
Settle for Biden. That's the hashtag promoted by AOC and the socialists. The woketopians will settle for Biden because they will make him an extra in a movie written, produced, and directed by others. It's a horror film, really. They'll disarm you, empty the prisons, lock you in your home, and invite MS-13 to live next door. And the police aren't coming when you call. In Democrat-run cities, they're already being defunded, disbanded. Blaming our best and allowing society's worst? That's the story they write in Hollywood. That's if the lights even stay on in California anymore.
There was all kinds of subtle salt written there. And I'm going to, my production staff is going to lose their minds. In a second, I'm going to play that one again too, because I want you to see something else. But first, on what he said. All that's right. You know what's nuts about politics is so much of the time you paint your opponent in the worst possible light. And they're going to do the same to you. It's a contact sport. I don't whine about it. That's true. But he said specifically, disarm you, empty the jails, invite MS-13 to live next door. I know because it's written down for me. That's what he said specifically. They're doing that. Democrats are now openly the anti-gun party. Joe Biden has said multiple things that make no sense about guns on the campaign trail. But he said, and look, we can assume he misspoke, but he said he wants to disarm or disband or collect magazines that have multiple rounds. That's every magazine. That's the whole point of a magazine, is that a magazine holds multiple rounds. That's the entire concept of it. They want to eliminate your semi-automatic weapon. They do. And the MS-13 thing? Donald Trump has been going after MS-13. He tasked his Justice Department to go after them, and he's been going after them hard since he took office. Democrats, their response has been, warn the neighborhood when ICE agents are around. That's what the party has become. I'm not making that stuff up. That's what the party has become. Now, Republicans are doing something very, very, very smart at their convention. The Democratic Party has a patriotism problem. That's no coincidence. They have had one for quite some time now, and now they have a major one because, let's be honest, they're not the un-American party. The Democrats have now become the anti-American party. I'm not making that up. When's the last time you heard a National Democrat say anything positive about the United States of America? Even Barack Obama, for 8 years as president of the United States, all he did was crap all over the place. That's what they do. That's what their constituency is. That's who they are. That's the message they push out there. America sucks. America sucks. America sucks. And this is an issue that pulls them away from that middle they need to grab in order to win elections. You remember they got criticized, their convention, I forget how long ago it was, they didn't have a single American flag in it. They took under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance at the last one they had, the one they just had. These are big things, eye-popping things. So while Matt Gaetz speaks one more time, see if you notice anything about the background.
Settle for Biden. That's the hashtag promoted by AOC and the socialists. The Woketopians will settle for Biden because they will make him an extra in a movie written, produced, and directed by others. It's a horror film, really. They'll disarm you, empty the prisons, lock you in your home, and invite MS-13 to live next door. And the police aren't coming when you call. In Democrat-run cities, they're already being defunded, disbanded. Blaming our best and allowing society's worst? That's the story they write in Hollywood. That's if the lights even stay on in California anymore.
That is not wrapping yourself in the red, white, and blue. That is wrapping yourself in the red, white, and blue, putting on a red, white, and blue cowboy hat, lighting a red, white, and blue cigar, getting on a red, white, and blue nuclear weapon, and launching yourself into Beijing. That is going all in on the patriotism, and I 100% support it. Very, very, very smart. All right. We have a lot more show. We have two great guests for you, but first, allow me to talk to you about Atlantic Flag and Pole. One of my favorite things about the company, I love that it's a family business packed full of patriots. I love their business mission, which is the flag. They want a flag in every yard. And there is something special about that flag. You just saw it by video. Doesn't that make you feel good? A gigantic flag on the wall, four flags behind you. It is good to be proud of your nation, to celebrate it, and to fly your flag. So I love all that about Atlantic Flag and Pole. But I like that the aluminum is made in America. That's what I like. I like made in America because I am done funding the people who hate this country. Go to AtlanticFlagpole.com. That's AtlanticFlagpole.com. Use the code Jesse when you get there. Save 10% off. We'll be back. Joining me now, former law enforcement officer and founder of TatumReport.com, Brandon Tatum. First of all, Brandon, what is TatumReport.com? What happened here? Why was I not kept up to date?
Well, the fundamental principle is this. If you seek a judge report and you want information, you want it verifiable, you want it 100% free, then you go to TatumReport.com. So I'm sorry I didn't include you earlier, but it's up and rolling.
What happened to Drudge Report? And I say this, look, most people watching know what Drudge Report is. If you don't, when I came up in politics, Drudge Report was the place you went for political information. It was 9 trillion stories, all of them laid out for you right there, very clearly. It was everything you needed to know. I'm mad I didn't have a radio or TV show back then because it was a one-stop shop for show prep. Now, it's just an anti-Trump screed all day. Brandon, what happened?
It's money, man. If it's making money, getting people talking about it, I think that's where they capitalize on. But I don't think that's the values that I share and the values that most people share that are watching this program that are in America is that, no, man, we got to stick with integral news, make sure that it's verifiable news and that it's balanced, that it's reasonable. And that's why I developed the TatumReport.com.
Brandon, you're a former cop. Everybody saw, I'm positive you saw that video of the cop catching a brick to the side of his head in Wisconsin. Immediate rioting, looting, burning. Please tell me this isn't just the permanent state of affairs now, anytime there's a violent confrontation between cops and a black guy.
Unfortunately, the ignorant among us is running rampant in our country. All they do is protest. All they do is scream, bludgeon other people. They claim to be fighting for justice, but they don't want justice. They want revenge. They're claiming to be fighting racism while being racist. It's a crap show, man. It's unfortunate that we see this in our country. I think this is the new norm until law enforcement agencies start fighting back. There is no way in the world that these people should be damaging property and bludgeoning police officers, and they're not using force against them. If I was the police chief, we will be using force against them and eliminate this situation once and for all.
Brandon, I think they are gravely concerned about the image of that. Obviously, I don't need to break down for you anything about the civil rights movement and stuff, but everybody's seen the pictures, you know, of dogs attacking people, batons, fire hoses. And I think they're very concerned, especially coming up to an election, of the appearance of cops standing there taking a baton to people who are mostly black. Is that a reasonable thing to be concerned about? Is that only going to make things worse?
Yeah, I agree with that sentiment. I think that there is some reasonableness there. You know, if you see people protesting and they start getting shot, I mean, it's going to be even more of a ruckus. But I do think at some point, kind of like raising a child, at some point when they act up enough, you got to spank them. Maybe you have to spank them in public. And I guarantee you only have to do it once and they won't act out again. So when it's within reason, you know, if you're protesting, that's fine. That's covered under the Constitution. When you're bludgeoning people in the middle of the street and you're burning down facilities, you're taking over police stations, that's when it stops.
Speaking of spanking a child, there was another video that came out today. I don't know where it was from. And protesters had surrounded some lady, a woman, sitting outside eating. And they're screaming at her face, and there was a man bending down, screaming in this woman's face about some kind of political thing, his stupid fist raising. I don't even know what that was supposed to be. And I thought, one, that child's never been spanked. Two, I understand this is controversial. That guy has never in his life been hit in the mouth by one of his peers. That is a human being who has never had the benefit of a physical altercation.
Yeah, these people are maddened. They're crazy. I'm fed up with it, to be quite honest. I almost want somebody to come up and approach me at a table while I'm with my family, and then I guarantee you they won't do it again. It's probably going to go viral. But I'm sick of it, man. They're sitting there yelling at these black individuals, and I know there's white people that are involved as well, but it is hypocritical for black people to be yelling at white people and claiming that they're racist and predicting their ancestry without having any verifiable information of where they come from, who they are, but only the color of their skin. I mean, riddle me this. How are you fighting racism with racism? How are you fighting oppression and you know, unjustifiable treatment with unjustifiably treating other people wrong? I mean, the basketball player just the other day called a guy some derogatory terms and called him a white boy. And that's a derogatory language. And if the white boy would have called the black man this, what would have happened? They'll be crying, rolling, and making tear angels on the basketball court, crying about oppression. I mean, this is getting out of control.
I've argued that every human being holds some kind of prejudice in their heart, that it's unavoidable. It's who we are. And it doesn't have to be skin color. It can be, you know, skin color, religion. It can be nationality. America, you're Canada, you're Mexico. It can be whatever it is. It's human nature to hold some kind of prejudice. The reason we have all this tension is we don't talk about it in this country. We don't joke about it. When I was in the Marine Corps, that's all we did was joke with each other about that stuff. We said terrible things to each other, and we didn't care. And that's why we didn't care. Am I crazy?
No, that's exactly how it was, and that's how it should be. I mean, when I was on a football team, I played college football, and we used to talk trash to each other all day long, and it was in love. And a lot of guys I noticed in the military, we did it on the police department as well. We talk mad trash to each other, and it's all in love. We know each other. I mean, it's all fun. There are stereotypes that are out there that white people feel against blacks and blacks feel against whites. We make fun of it. We move on, man. Nowadays, people are so cowardice and they're hurt. Their feelings are just hanging on their shoulders that we can't even live anymore in America and have the freedom to speak without somebody bludgeoning you if you are talking about somebody that's black and you happen to be white.
What happened there? Is that a media problem? Is that a Democratic Party problem? Is it a parenting problem? How'd we lose it?
I think it's a spiritual problem. I think a lot of things are going on in the spirit realm. People are not connected with God like they used to be. And so now there's no unity here. You know, when I was growing up in the church, I mean, what we spoke about was that we're all God's children, no matter what color you are. And nowadays, man, the ungodliness that we see, they pick color over God. They pick color and their own prejudice over the country's united values. So this is kind of what I think is the main portion. But then also the media is degrading the mentality and the mindset that people are having. Also these fake leaders. I mean, there is a plethora of blame to go around, but I think that most of it is relying on the ungodliness that we see in America today.
What's Blexit?
Blexit is the black exit from the Democratic Party. Now, that's kind of the sentiment that we started with, but our organization isn't really focused on politics, has nothing to do with Democrat or Republican Party per se. It's more so getting people in a position to think for themselves, to be free thinkers, and stop being a monolith and going down a certain direction because of the color of your skin or what society tells you to be. So thinking for yourself and becoming the best version of yourself is what we preach at Blexit.
TatumReport.com, highly recommend it. Brandon Tatum, thank you, my man.
Thank you, brother. See you next time.
See you, brother. Vault Pro USA. Hold on one second. You need to hear this. You see the news. You see what's happening out there. You see how society is fraying a bit. You need your stuff locked up. Start locking up your stuff, and not just from theft. What is something you've consistently seen on the news for months and months now? What is it? Fire. Things burning. Have you ever stood outside of your home on the street and watched as the fire department came racing up trying to save everything of material value that you like? I have. It's not something you forget. Get your valuables locked up in a Vault Pro USA safe. Vault Pro USA safes, warranted for life, made in America. They got storm shelters, vault doors, walk-in vaults, gun racks. You can customize the things. You can put shelves in there, workbenches on it, or you can buy stock. Go check out what I'm talking about at vaultprousa.com/Jesse. That's vaultprousa.com/Jesse. Do not forget to use the promo code THEFIRSTTV while you're there and save yourself some money. We'll be back. Joining me now, Tim Young. He's a columnist with the Washington Times and a comedian. Tim, why do you write ever? I don't understand you people who write things. I've written like 5 things in my lifetime, and I'll be honest with you, when I go to sit down to write something, I get that feeling in the pit of my stomach like I have to jump out of a plane. It's miserable.
Now, hold on, Jesse. Here's the thing. You tweet all day long, just like I do. You just string the tweets together to equal about 700 to 800 words, and it's an article. That's what I do. It's just a bunch of junk that I put into one article. I've been tricking the Times for a while.
First of all, that's not true. If you throw just a couple little quick blurbs out there and then you fire and forget, you can't sit down and actually have to put a story together. What that does, that takes skill. What I do takes no skill whatsoever. I'll never understand the mentality, right? But anyway, moving on. The RNC, the convention. Give me your impression of it so far, Nikki Haley, Tim Scott. We had the McCloskeys out there doing the very awkward couple, both of them on camera at the same time thing. What were your thoughts?
Listen, I think they really dropped the ball, to be honest with you, because they didn't have a man in a dress singing something happening here. Like, I really expected some really crappy green screen karaoke. How can they compete with the Democrats? Actually, you know, the first night was powerful. They took the whole range of emotions. They brought real Americans in that dealt with real American issues and things that people are dealing with every day and seeing in the streets, as opposed to Democrats who brought in, I mean, it just kind of seemed like a bunch of incels on a Zoom call. For their convention, it just seemed empty and without any kind of connection to the American people.
Now, how does that happen? Because I agree with you, and to be honest, I thought the Republican production value was flat out better. I thought it looked more professional, more professionally done, and I don't understand how that happens when you're the left. And you're clinically insane, but you do own Hollywood. You have all these people who know about entertainment. How was theirs just so weird?
Maybe Harvey Weinstein was the only good producer they had in Hollywood. You know, he had his issues. They had to get rid of him. He's busy right now, and he was unable to produce the DNC. That's the only thing I can think. I mean, they run Hollywood. They should have somebody who can put that together.
Tim, I don't think Nikki Haley is the future of the Democratic Party, and that's not an insult to Nikki Haley. I don't think she is, because I think people have convinced themselves the GOP is going to return to the old days, the pre-Trump days, once Trump is gone. And I do not see that happening because of the radicalization of the left. I think the Trump nationalist, populist thing is the future of the GOP, like it or not.
I think I agree with you there. Nikki Haley does believe that she's going to be the nominee in 2024, but I think you've got a sneaky fella sitting around that's going to be the first gay president in American history, Rich Grenell, who is just as mouthy as Trump. He's a little bit more refined than Trump when it comes to messaging and kind of holding back on Twitter a little bit more, but he's just as mouthy and just as brilliant.
Let's have that talk. Do you think a gay man can get elected president for either party in the United States? We already know the Democratic Party. We know this for a fact. Part of the reason they ran Pete Buttigieg out of the primary was the fact that he was gay hurt him too much with the black community. Rick Grenell, although he's a personal friend, I like Rick, he is gay, and the GOP base, a big part of it, is evangelical. I'm not saying evangelicals hate gay people. That's absurd talk. But are they going to be able to vote for one for president?
I think so. You know, here's the thing. A lot of people didn't think that they'd be able to vote for Donald Trump for president, and he turned out to be pretty good. So I think that this path continues to change. You know, I think people are more accepting of gay people and gay marriage and all that kind of stuff now. Sure, there are a couple of, pearl clutchers that you and I run into, especially on Twitter when we're mouthy. But really, you know, I think it's time that we move on. And I think, honestly, Republicans are going to have both the first female eventually and first gay president of the United States.
Well, let's slow down. We don't need the first female, but that's another thing entirely, Tim. Immigration. it's one of those things the Republican Party always seems to struggle with. Donald Trump's one of the very few who's come out vocally as anti-illegal immigration. But even then, he got to Washington and let's be frank about it. He was trying to strike amnesty deals with the Democratic Party. Where does the population as a whole actually stand on the issue?
Well, here's the thing. I think everybody knows a legal immigrant, and legal immigrants work their butts off to get to America. They worked very hard. The system, the process is incredibly difficult to get through. And they are the ones that are most offended by Democrats trying to do these handouts for illegal immigrants that have just kind of walked into the country and done nothing but break the law, essentially. I think people are all about legal immigration. I think that a lot of legal immigrants have made a hell of a big difference in America and made a lot of positive difference. I mean, we wouldn't have a Nikki Haley, even though she's old swamp. If it wasn't for legal immigration. But no, most Americans do not want illegal immigration, and they don't want handouts to people when there are people hurting in our own streets.
Biden-Harris, that campaign, I don't view it as being a well-run campaign, but I don't want to be that guy who's such a partisan hack, even though I am a partisan hack. I can't see the forest through the trees. Is it well-run? Are they doing the best they can, considering the fact the guy at the top of the ticket has a brain that has turned into toothpaste?
Well, I don't know if he's healthy enough to travel, and I think we need to start asking that question or not. When's the last time, other than him riding for, 50 yards on a bike, that he's actually left the state of Delaware? They took the convention to him rather than him go on the road. There are definite big health concerns there, and I don't think that team can hide it. And they said that they're not going to take him on the road to campaign at all, that most likely he's going to just stay in his basement or living room, because he says he leaves his basement, but he doesn't leave his house, to continue campaigning. This is incredibly poorly run. They make him look super weak. When he does show up outside of his house, he's wearing a mask that covers his entire face, and he's probably taking instructions from whoever else is wearing a mask around him.
But what can they do about it? If he can't function, you're better off hiding him than revealing him to the public and removing all doubt.
You know, here's the thing. I've got this theory that Democrats are throwing this election on purpose. I don't think that people who are in power, the Schumers, the Pelosis, want the far left to take over. And that's exactly what happens when you get a Biden ticket. They claim power for it, and AOC moves up. Your crazy Ilhan Omar moves up. And they don't want to cede that power. I think this fight is for the DNC more than for the presidency. If they win the presidency, sure, they'll sort it out. But I think your old guard is actually guarding their power in this election, and they don't care if Biden loses.
That's interesting. I like that theory. I'm going to take that theory for my own and act like I came up with it. Tim Young, thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Do you see what's happening out there with finances, right? I mean, you look, read the headlines. You don't have to take my word for it. Read the headlines about the business closures. I'm seeing estimates out there, 20, 40% of small businesses, restaurants being wiped out. hotels being wiped out, major corporations, not just small businesses, major corporations closing franchises all across the United States of America. This is happening now, and yet the stock market's still really high. How long do you think that lasts? Please tell me you don't have every dime you've ever made invested all in stocks and bonds. Get a gold IRA from Gold Alliance and diversify a little. Just diversify a little. Gold Alliance has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. If you go to goldalliance.com/Jesse, that's goldalliance.com/Jesse, you can even get up to $5,000 in gold and silver coins. goldalliance.com/Jesse. Don't lose everything you worked hard for. We'll be back. One of the most underrated, supremely athletic sports out there is ping pong. I'm a bit of a ping pong aficionado myself. You know, I don't like to brag, but I am. However, this child could probably give me a run for my money. That's amazing. You know what? I'd never play her. How can you withstand the humiliation of losing to a one-year-old or however old that is? I don't know. I don't know kids' ages. All right. We got another great show for you coming tomorrow. See you then.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good-looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? Usually my drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Katie Couric. You know, if you've been following me on social media, you know I love to cook, or at least try, especially alongside some of my favorite chefs and foodies, like Benny Blanco, Jake Cohen, Lighty Hoik, Allison Roman, and Ina Garten. So I started a free newsletter called Good Taste to share recipes, tips, and kitchen must-haves. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/goodtaste. That's KATIECOURIC.com/goodtaste. I promise your taste buds will be happy you did.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Joe Gatto.
I'm Steve Byrne.
We are Two Cool Moms.
We certainly are.
And guess where we could find us now?
Oh, I don't know. The iHeart Podcast Network?
That's right. We're an official iHeart podcast, and I'm super excited about it.
I am too. I thought Two Cool Moms was such a fun podcast, but now it's even more funner and cooler and heartier.
That's right. It's more iHeartier.
I knew it! Check your heart rate. We're here at iHeart.
Yeah, you can find us wherever you listen to your podcasts or on the iHeart Radio app.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain.
Benjamin Franklin is our subject for a new season with Walter Isaacson.
He's the most successful self-made business person in America.
A printer, a scientist, founding father, but maybe not the guy we think we know.
Franklin casts his lot on the side of revolution, and it's another thing that splits the family apart.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.